Blog Talk Radio.
Go, get over here, come here. We're going to get with a bunch of Chicago fans.
Tony Pacquiao, your one and only, your favorite.
And you've reached Fight Talk Unlimited. We have a...
Well, Fight Talk Unlimited, how did that happen?
That happened when I just decided it was too much to introduce the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show.
Oh. What, are you saving, like, syllables now?
Yeah, you know. Seeing as we always get jacked up for time. No,
Or some weeks we have technical difficulties. Now, I got a special favor tonight. I got a very special friend of mine over the house who has never been live on the air and would love to say something live on the air. So, Serena, you're live on the air. So say something.
She just ducked her head in the pool.
All right, I got someone else who's going to say something live on the air. Say something, Audrey.
Hello.
It took her 14 seconds to figure out what she was going to say, and all she came up with was hello. You want to say something now?
Bye.
And I got a hello and a goodbye. That's great. In fact, I got to send a text message out. I heard Fighting Unlimited has a groupie now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm texting. Make sure that the person's live on the air. And the person who pauses a replay made me call him a groupie, which is great.
Nice. We have groupies. Well, I just got a nice custom t-shirt made by Cafe Press to bring up from the Hampshire fights. So hopefully that'll generate some groupies for us.
Nice. I've actually gotten stuff from Cafe Press before. Except I got mad at them last year. I wanted to get make a shirt to wear on Thanksgiving, and I was going to put a picture of Rocky on it, and I was going to wear it over my relative's house and say, Thanksgiving, yeah, to you, but to me, it's Thursday. And they wouldn't let me do it. They said, oh, it's a copyrighted image.
I was pissed. Oh, well. Our Fight News Unlimited logo is not copyrighted, as far as I know.
Well, yeah, that's cool. Well, it doesn't matter. You're the owner of it.
Right. Well, technically. Not really. I kind of stole it. You didn't hear that from me on live radio. Anyway,
I didn't hear nothing.
To the title of the show, Fight Talk Unlimited. That's what I label the blog, or the blog talk radio show. As when I first put it on there, so I figured that's what we should stick with, so we're sticking with homework. That's my story. We had some huge fights over the weekend. Of course, we had UFC 115, I believe they're up to now. Yeah. And we had
been too many as far as I'm concerned.
Chuck Liddell got knocked the fuck out. Perhaps.
Oh, yeah, again. And that's the thing that's wrong with this. You know, I mean, they're sitting there, they're putting this guy in there, and, I mean, hey, he's got a big name and everything, and, you know, people criticize him very Holyfield and guys have to fight on too long. And, yeah, they're right. But Holyfield is still competitive, and he's still winning most of his fights. And he's still fighting in the championship level, high caliber. And like I said, he's not the fighter he once was? Absolutely not. But the thing is, Holyfield is not taking an abundance of punishment. Liddell needs to get the hell out and retire before he ends up a drooling vegetable by the age of 43.
I don't necessarily think it's going to be his last fight. He's talking about retiring. Everybody's calling for him to retire, but I think he definitely still has to fight Ortiz when Ortiz comes back, whatever that is.
Yeah, I know that's going to be a big draw and everything, but the thing is, I mean, where do you draw the line on a person's, you know, health and well-being and the chance to live, you know, a sound and healthy future?
Well,
because if he keeps getting knocked out like that, I mean, those are concussions that will, like, sideline an NFL player for, you know, 8 weeks.
If he wants to go out of his shield, he's going out of his shield.
Well, you got the other night on the shield.
And,
I mean, I didn't see it. As you know, I'm
Rich Franklin's arm before that happened. So, if he had just lasted that 7 seconds or many seconds were left in that first round, he could have potentially won that fight. So, you know, give it to Rich Franklin, I figured, to get in the desperation shot. But, you know, Chuck actually fought a very decent fight up to that point, and I'm surprised. When everybody jumped the gun and said, no, not everybody jumped the gun, but everybody jumped on the bandwagon, I guess, and said, yeah, retire. Nobody put even, like, a second thought into it, or, like, but he had a great fight, you know, because I was kind of disappointed that that didn't happen. I mean, if you're going to call for him to retire, go ahead, but at least be like, but he had a great show.
I can respect the guy did some new things, and I can respect the fact that, you know, maybe he varied his game a little bit, and that, you know, he put on a decent performance while he was conscious. But the fact of the matter is, the guy not only lost the fight, like, okay, you think about, like, Evander Holyfield, he lost the fight to, like, say, like, Nikolai Valiyev, which was close and competitive, a lot of people thought Holyfield won. Or he lost the fight to Chris Bird, where he didn't take a lot of punishment, he just got outpointed, because he's a little bit older, a little bit slower, and he can't pull the trigger like he used to. At none of those times was he lying on the canvas for a matter of minutes, unconscious. I mean, that's, you know, when you really risk serious, you know, damage, you know, to your brain.
That's that. There was some other...
As you know, by the way, as you know, I didn't watch it because, as I said last week, I'm boycotting anything Dana White will ever offer. It's a piece of garbage.
All right. Well, it was a pretty decent card. John. There was, you know, that fight was the main event there. And, hang on 1 second. Just trying to bring up the whole thing. There were a lot of interesting fights on the whole card. Obviously, another guy that has been hearing a lot about retirement is Mirko Prokop. And he fought this guy, Patrick Barry, went all three rounds, Pat Barry. And Barry idolizes Prokop, you know, it's like his hero. So these guys were beating the shit out of each other. Barry knocked Prokop on his ass twice. And let him up. Just let him right up. Let him stand right back up. Back in the fight. Oh. They hugged in the middle of a round. They shook hands. They kept tapping each other like it was a game. The whole thing was a game. This is just making the UFC seem like it's all staged. And they do shit like that. And, of course, Pat Barry, thinking, you know, he's whooping the guy's ass. He's just giving him respect. He ends up getting his ass kicked. In the end, he lost the fight. By submission, you know? Prokop fucking just beat the hell out of him in the end, and then just... The guy gave him too much respect, literally. And we had a late TKO with Carlos Condit over Rory Donald. 7 seconds left in the third and final round, and that one. That was pretty interesting. Ben Rothwell won a pretty boring unanimous decision over Gilbert Bell. Martin Campman and Paulo Thiago went to a unanimous decision for Campman. So Evan Dunham beat Tyson Griffin by a decision. That was an interesting fight. Griffin was like walking around the ring with the guy like attached to his back. Put his arms out to the ref, like, what? What am I going to do? Matt Wyman beat Mac Danzig by a submission guillotine choke. Yeah, this was a very interesting fight, a lot of controversy. And it was one of the referees, Eve Levine, he had a fight later on that he wouldn't stop, and it seemed like he should have stopped it, but this one he stopped way too early. He relied on the guy who was winning to tell him what was going on. And he said, oh, he's out. You know, he thought the guy at the bottom was out, and the ref just called it on that. It didn't check to see if the guy was actually, you know, with it. And he was fine. So Danzig lost the fight. That's crazy. And on the ones that weren't televised, we had David Loizzo losing by TKO to Mario Miranda in the second round, and James Wilkes beat Peter Sobota by unanimous decision. Claude Patrick beat Ricardo Funch by submission in the second round, and Mike Pyle beat Jesse Lennox by technical submission. And we also have a big UFC event coming. coming up this weekend, of course, the Ultimate Fighter finale. And our boy from last week's show, Rich Attonito, 7th grade, Jamie Yeager, who's 2-1 on that show. That's not the main event. The main event is actually going to be Matt Hamill versus Keith Jardine. Interesting matchup. We also have the, of course, the main event of the Ultimate Fighter fighters is the Court McGee versus Chris McCray fight. McGee is 10-1, McCray is 6-0. We got Matt Hamill versus Keith Jardine. We just mentioned that one of their records. Jardine is 14-8, one draw, and Hamill is 9-2. The old guy, Chris the Crippler Lieben, is back. He's 19-6 for the round a while, fighting Aaron Simpson, 7-0. Spencer Fisher versus Dennis Seaver. We got John Gunderson versus Mark Hoist. Brad Tavares versus Seth Baczynski. Kyle Nope versus Josh Bryant. James Amatry versus Chris Colosi. And an old Ultimate Fighter alumni, James McSweeney versus Travis Brown. McSweeney was from one of the last seasons there where they had a fight in the house. He beat some guy down over a prank on she just sent that link to a story of mine I did on the evolution of the Ultimate Fighter. But we do have a boxing guest on tonight, Tony. I don't know if you can have an email now.
I did. I actually wanted to email you about it. Daniel Edward, the Hasty Sensation, right?
That's the guy. He's 23-2-2 with 14 KOs. He's the current WBA Fed Latin Middleweight Champion, the current WBA Fed Central Light Middleweight Champion, and the current WBA Fed Caribe Light Middleweight Champion. Talk about some belts here. He's also the former USBA Middleweight Champion. He's a college graduate.
Do you have his record up on BoxRec?
Do I have his record up on BoxRec? Should I?
Yeah, you should.
Tell you exactly who he's fought.
Congratulations.
Well, I know he hasn't lost to Jermaine Taylor. His stop was lost. But look at the fight before that. It was an ESPN fight.
Congratulations.
I see Miguel Angel Espino.
Oh.
Jermaine Taylor, the one before that?
Yep.
Willie Gibbs.
Yep, recognize that name?
Willie Gibbs. I don't know. It was Willie Gibbs.
Willie Gibbs is actually a former strong partner of mine.
He's 17-0, huh?
He was, and he really, that was Willie's first loss. Yeah, Willie lost the first great fight. You know, it was on ESPN, and those guys really tore into each other, and Dwight stopped him in the fourth round. I said it was, I mean, a fantastic fight. And then Gibbs made a bit of a comeback. He beat a Leonard Pierre, I believe his name was, or Lenore Pierre, and I was supposed to be really chief sparring partner for that fight. That's when I ruptured my appendix. And then he had the loss to Miranda, and then pretty much from there, he's pretty much retired now. It's a shame. He had a lot of potential, but he's another guy. You know, he was starting to, you could see, he was starting to take a lot of punches in his fight. He got knocked in the Edward fight, you know, pretty solidly. You know, Edward hit him with some good shots and really put Willie out. And then he got knocked out by Miranda. He actually tore the meniscus in his knee when he went down. Then he had a loss to Ramon Joval. It took a lot of punishment. And then a stoppage loss to Andy Lee over in Ireland. And I think the management kind of told him that it was time to call it a career.
Yeah.
It's like you don't want a guy that's, a fantastic guy. I mean, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, a true gentleman in the gym. He's a hard worker. And that's because you don't want to see a guy who has a family, who has young kids, be deprived of, a good, healthy, relationship and a good, healthy future, raising his kids because, he's taking, too many punches.
Well, I agree. But Daniel Eduard is pretty much still on the rise here. He's got just two losses, the one to Jermaine Taylor and the one to Irvicel Albert. And a couple of draws to the same guy back in 2004 in back-to-back fights. I couldn't figure out a winner. I had a third fight. that's tough. That's weird. I never heard of that. 2 10-round fights and 1 to draws. Back-to-back.
Only against the same guy? Well, they match up against each other well. What can you say?
I guess so. One was in Brockton. Can you believe it? 2004.
Brockton Pass? You ever been there?
Massachusetts. Right next door. And the other one was in California, so you couldn't blame the judges.
Yeah, right.
That's unbelievable. I'll have to ask him about that. For sure. But we do have some other boxing coming up, of course. We've got a boxer here trying to sift through for the good stuff.
Yeah, we got the Ward Green fight this weekend on Showtime, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I should be keeping up on all of those 24/7s or whatever they call them.
Hey.
You went.
Okay, well, we were just talking about we pulled up the Wood Green card.
Yeah, there's been some Fight Camp 360s that I probably should have been watching, but I haven't checked out the clips yet. I don't know all that much about that series. I've kind of been falling out on the boxing lately. But I'm trying to find that box track here. Not a whole heck of a lot. I got a funny story about Jimmy Lang's next fight.
From the contender.
From the contender, yeah. They're making a big deal out of it. I think it's funny because I've seen the kid box when he's fighting. And it was a little show, actually, right? Not even a freaking rock. You could throw a rock from the house that I used to live at to where this thing was, this boxing event a couple years ago, where I think it was the first time I met Danny O'Connor. I seen him box in Dorchester where I grew up. So anyway, this fight's going on. And, you get this whole setup there. Just totally lost the train of thought what I was going to say. What were we talking about?
We're talking about this guy Jimmy Lang is going to fight to make it a
big deal. Oh, alright. So this kid is fighting on this card, and he's from Weymouth, another town that I used to live in. So this kid, his name is Jimmy LeBlanc.
I heard of Jimmy LeBlanc, sure.
12 and 15 or something. And
right.
He goes into this fight and he disqualified for holding because he kept holding on to the guy. He would just run in, hold, and the ref was very cordial about it. He just kept breaking him up, and it went like 4 rounds of a 6-round fight like this till the ref finally just disqualified him for holding. So Jimmy Lennox's next fight is against this kid that I've seen fight, and they're making it a big deal, and it's the main event of his boxing show that he's coming. So don't bet on Jimmy LeBlanc.
Yeah, I've seen him play. I'm trying to remember. I forget if he fought like Harry Yorgi, or he fought somebody. His name was Joey Gilbert. I honestly can't remember, but I've seen him in a blank fight, and I don't think he was victorious. But I mean, I've seen a lot of I've seen things like that in the boxing world. I mean, I can't tell you how many times going to shows or like throwing a guy in the main event here, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. I've been hyping it up. I believe one I remember was maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. It was actually, Rich, it was one of the first cards I ever covered when I started, doing stuff with Fight News Unlimited. It was down at National Guard Armory in Philadelphia, which was a great place for socializing. I mean, you went there most of the time. You weren't going to see a good fight. You were going to see mismatches and fights that were, not up to quality. But they'd have fun there. People would be hanging around and hobnobbing, and they had a dancing ring announcer, and it was fun. It was a night out. They had this guy, and they were hyping him up. His name was Zeus. And he looked a little bit like the Tommy Lister who wrestled Hulk Hogan under the name Zeus from back in, like, the late 80s or whatever. So he was big like that. He was almost 7 feet tall. He was about, like, 6'10". He was 325 pounds. He was huge. And they're hyping this guy up. The debut of Zeus. It was probably the worst fight I've ever seen. The guy he fought wasn't that good. And it was just an atrocious fight. It was like more holding and just brawling and grappling. And I remember the one thing I said in my article after it was over. I said, because this guy came out of the ring. He won the decision. He was happy. But the fans sure as hell weren't happy. It wasn't a good fight. But he was shaking hands with people, and he was just joking around. And I saw him later, and he was just laughing and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? He seems like a really nice guy. You don't want to badmouth him, because, I mean, hey, some guys aren't going to be entertaining fighters. But I said, I bet you he could be a hell of a movie bad guy or a professional wrestler. He could be like, the new Kane or whatever, like a big guy, like unstoppable, kick everybody's ass, act like the nastiest guy in the world, and then just be like, come out and be like, hey, how you doing? I want to be your friend. Well, yeah, I've seen a lot of times hype going to fighters and fights that definitely didn't. I told you the one where my friend was supposed to fight the guy, that Greek guy that time, and, the guy's pro debut. They were hyping up because the guy's brother was the promoter. And Greek belly dancer is going to do his ring entrance and all that good stuff. And by the time he saw my friend who's going to fight, the guy pretty much chickened out. He put all that hype into nothing. The show ended up flopping because, the guy that was going to be the big draw, they didn't fight.
Well, anyway, the big fight this weekend, you're right, is the one out in California, Andre Roy versus Alan Green. And it's for the WBA Super World Super Middleweight title. That's the correct pronunciation. The Super World Super Middleweight title. But anyway, is that because of the Super 6? Ward's 21-0, 13 knockouts. Green is 29-1 with 20 knockouts.
Here's what gets interesting about it. Because you figure Andre Ward is a guy who hasn't lost since he was like 13 years old. I mean, he went the rest of his amateur career undefeated, went through the Olympics undefeated, went through all those world amateur tournaments undefeated. That's a pretty good pedigree right there. The guy's a hell of a boxer. He's not a great punch, but he's a hell of a boxer. And, his last fight, he went up against Mikel Kessler, and he pretty much schooled him. Kessler was only had one loss at the time. He was like 40-something and one. Now you got Alan Green, who's like the wild card in this whole equation, because he wasn't originally in the Super 6. And they kind of put him in as a replacement for Jermaine Taylor. And
what?
Green was pissed. What? Well, I feel like Green was pissed off because he didn't get a selected originally. And his only loss was a decision loss to Edison Miranda. But he took a lot of punishment in that fight. He was pretty much out on his feet at the final bell. But the thing is, I mean, he is a guy that could conceivably cause some problems because he's a
you know, a good puncher. He's got some skills. But if you're a betting man, how can you bet against a guy who hasn't lost since he was 13 years old?
Target Sims hadn't lost until he met Alan Green in his last fight in 2009. He was 25.
What? Who was that?
Target Sims.
Yeah, and you know what, but, I always get the Simmons brothers confused. It was Travis and it was Tarvis. But if I remember that fight correctly, Sims didn't come in very good shape for that fight. And he's also a guy who was a natural 154-pounder.
Oh, really, Rain Man?
Yeah. You know what's sick? I didn't even look at Boxer to know that. I am the best.
Who refereed it?
My ass.
Just name your favorite referee.
My favorite referee, personally?
Yeah.
I like Smoger.
There you go. That's it.
How should you say Smoger's my favorite referee? I've met Steve a couple times. He does some shows in Philadelphia down to the Blue Horizon and stuff, and he's cool. Like, we always BS with him. I think I've talked to him at a couple different fights, and so like, he'll see me come in. I'm like, hey, how you doing? You enjoy the card today? I'm like, yes, I did, sir. I'm going to write my article when I get home. And the one thing I always wanted to ask him, and I never had a chance, was two fights I wanted to ask him about that he refereed was Hopkins Trinidad and Pavlik Miranda. Because that Pavlik Miranda fight, that's where Miranda was only had the one loss. It was that decision to Abraham when he had like 5 points deducted from him, broke Abraham's jaw. So I was like, man, I don't know, man. Pavlik's going to try to slug with him. And that fight was a barn burner until Pavlik knocked him out. And I just wanted to ask, I said, man, what was it like being in there for that, that bomb fest?
Yeah, it's interesting. He's been in some cool fights. We have some other interesting fights on this whole Andre Ward versus Alan Green card.
Yeah, is there a boy named Chambers fighting on that card?
Steve Upshur Chambers? Would that be
Steve's a kid from Philadelphia. I've got to talk to him on a few occasions.
How did I know?
Hell of a nice kid. He is the younger brother, Eddie Chambers, who just fought the head title.
Right.
Yeah, Steve, he's not seen as much of a puncher, but I went down to one of his last fights on the Blue Horizon. He put a pepper in on this other boy in the first round. He had that kid in the corner. He must have threw about 85 punches in a 30-second span and bounced about 70 of them off this kid's head and finally put him down and out. It was definitely pretty fun to watch.
Well, he's fighting Hector Alatorre, who is 16-9 with 5 knockouts. And he's only been knocked out. So, what
about
Mr. Chambers knocking that guy out?
Well, Chambers isn't much of a puncher. He's a good, he's a southpaw. Long arms, Eddie Chambers for a heavyweight, like short, kind of squat, shorter arms, more like an inside-out kind of guy. Steve Chambers for, a featherweight or a lightweight. He's around, 126, 135 pounds, somewhere in that range. And he's a guy who's got southpaw with real long arms, and he plays from a distance and, uses his hand speed and reflexes.
Right. Well, we also have a Fight News Unlimited talk show alumni, Mark Tante Tucker, who's still undefeated, 13-0, at light heavyweight. He's going to be fighting on this card. He's going to be fighting Billy Bailey, who's 10-7. For knockouts to his credit. And also we have a heavyweight 10-rounder between Tony Thompson, 34-2, 22 knockouts, and Friday Ahunanya.
Yeah, Friday the 13th.
6 with 3 draws, 13 knockouts. So also Kendall Holt versus Jesse Feliciano, welterweight, that's 8-rounder. Feliciano 16-9, 3 draws, 9 knockouts. six, been knocked out six times. And we have a hold to 25-4-13 knockouts, three draws. I mean, knocked out four times, no draws. And we have an interesting female fight if it materializes. TBA here, but eight-round featherweight fight between Jessica Roxoxy, who's 31-3, 11 knockouts, and she's fighting the old TBA at this point. That's it, just really, for the big boxing this weekend, unfortunately. But we have a live guest who's in the boxing world that you can talk to about your want there, Tony. Ask all the questions you need to ask about boxing that you've been waiting to ask because we haven't had a boxing guest in 8 months.
Well, I'm good at that.
Yeah, Daniel Edouard on the phone, Asian sensation.
Hello.
Daniel.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Hey, this is Rebel Rouser and Rich. How's it going?
I got a small issue. I'm not sure if it's going to cause a problem for you. I was going to ask you if we can move the interview for next week at the same time, same day, because I'm going through a little promotional debate type of thing. I forgot completely. I'm going through like a promotional thing. I'm trying to get out this promotional contract, and I want to be able to discuss that and everything freely. And I don't think I'll be able to do that now. Once again, it goes out, kind of give me a small little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fine. And that'll be good, because Daniel, it's going to be funny, because I didn't have a lot of... I'm Rich's co-host, Tony. I'm out of Philadelphia, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to do some prep work. And what's funny is one of my former sparring partners, you fought on ESPN, so I'll be able to definitely dig more into that and ask you more questions about it.
Okay.
All right, yeah, let's do it next week.
Next week is fine by me. I'll be around. Okay, that'll be perfect because, I want to be able to share everything about the promotional thing, get out this promotion contract, and I should have everything squared away with that by next week. It was supposed to be done this week, but it wasn't. I thought it was going to be done, but it didn't get done. So by next week this summer, should be all squared away and be able to move forward.
All right.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
All right, thanks a lot, gentlemen. I appreciate you. Yes, sir.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Danny.
Well, I lied, Tony.
What did you say, Rich?
I said I lied. I thought you were going to get a good boxing guest, but...
That's okay. I always make do. Oh my God! You know what? I gotta tell you something. Patrick Ewing looks fat and old.
Does he?
Yeah.
I thought he looked fat and old in the Patrick Ewing commercial. Snickers.
They showed him in the crowd at the Phillies Yankees game. I was like, who's that guy? He looks like the Junkyard Dog, but I know the Junkyard Dog passed away back in '98, so it can't be him. But like, it's Patrick Ewing. I'm like, oh my God.
And guessing Magic Johnson's picking to win tonight.
What was it, what?
Guessing Magic Johnson is picking to win the game tonight.
Magic Johnson is probably picking the Minnesota Timberwolves.
It's so funny. I don't know why they bother even asking.
Tony, I know you're a fighter out of Philadelphia. Who are you picking to win between Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones? Well, now. Let's see. That's a really an adequate question there. Rich, you're gonna kick out of this, being a big Red Sox fan.
Yeah,
you know, the Red Sox gave the Phillies two horrible ass whippings this weekend, right?
Oh, the Red Sox beat up you guys pretty bad? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, two of the three games. And, you know, the Phillies, they've been playing pretty, poorly over the last month or so. They were playing great. I went to a game. They went into an offensive funk right after that game. They got shut out like five times. And hopefully we'll turn it around as I'm going back this weekend, and hopefully I'll reverse the mojo. But the Phillies go up to Boston on Friday. Holiday pitches on Friday. They lose. Okay. Shit. No, Holiday didn't pitch. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Who pitched on Friday? I don't remember. They lose. So then it goes to the game on Saturday. I turn the game on, and they're already down like 8-0. I was like, Jesus Christ. Because that was Friday. When I was more pitched on Friday, they're already down 8-0. I turn the game on Saturday, they're already down like 9-2. I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. So my one friend, she's a huge Red Sox fan. She's always like talking shit and everything. And for one thing, she sends me an email Saturday morning. Yeah, we're going to the game on Saturday, and I hope it's another beatdown like we just gave you last night. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a beatdown on Friday, there was a beatdown on Saturday. She went to the game, Phillies won. I just wanted to laugh at her face. And then the Phillies came, they're playing your favorite team now, the New York Yankees. And the first game, best pitcher on the team, they get lumped up. Yeah, I know. For our first game, they get lumped up against the Yankees, and I'm like, great. So we lost with our best pitcher. Now we're going to take two of our worst pitchers.
Wait a second. What is the name of our show?
Fight News Unlimited.
Fight Talk Unlimited.
Well, I said Fight News. I'm sorry.
Well, the right website is named Fight News Unlimited. You got that right.
That's what I'm going by. I'm talking baseball now because I'm watching the game. But, we usually our best pitcher. We had one of our worst pitchers who lasted one inning against the Red Sox. He had eight innings last night. He was up two hits. And hopefully they'll win again tonight. But we'll see. You never know. But now I'm done with my baseball talk. I'm done with my basketball talk. Now we can talk about whatever you want.
All right. Well, we
have hockey. How about pro wrestling?
Some Strike Force mixed martial
arts. World Cup soccer?
To talk about. I didn't really get to see the whole card. I didn't realize it was Wednesday night. I know that I go watch it on Video Vault on my TV.net. Talk up there, but I only watched one fight. I think it was the main event. Babalu Sobral versus Robbie Lawler. And Robbie is really a good boxer. It's one of those type of fights that I really like to see because of the boxing and a lot of MMA. Usually, when he fights, he's usually pretty vicious and toe-to-toe slugging most of the time. It's just an interesting fight. It's just a very back and forth, everything was juiced. They did the takedowns, they did the boxing, they did the knees, the kicks. It was all over the place. And I just watched it like an hour ago. A little more than an hour ago, maybe. Anyway, Robbie Lawler lost the decision, and Sobral, you might remember, would still be in the UFC if not for doing a rear naked choke on somebody and then holding it after the guy tapped out. Point of letting him go into unconscious. The ref couldn't rip him off the guy, and it was like he got fired right the next day for doing it. I guess he didn't really like the guy. It was like one of those grudge matches that was for real. He really didn't like the guy. So he choked him out really bad, and he got thrown out of the UFC. And now he's in the Strike Force, and he's one of the best of the best. And it just beat Robbie Lawler. I'm not sure really, most of the other fights went. But I do have a blog going up tonight with all the results, so check the website. website later. I want to check that out. There's a big fight going on this weekend. I will be in New Hampshire at Meadowbrook Musical Arts Center. This was, I used to write about a lot. We had David George on the show not too long ago to give us a rundown on that event. It's now arrived, and Calvin Guitar, who we also had on the show, he's going to be fighting on that card. And it should be pretty interesting. I know that it's, this is the first time ever in the history of Meadowbrook Musical Arts Center. They've had a fight, period. Never had a boxing match, nothing. I don't think they've had wrestling either, so it's to be the first sports entertainment, I guess, but it's not entertainment, but sports fighting event. And this shows the instance of here on shirt. This Massacre in the Meadows. Oh. I don't have the official card on here. It's going to be at the up in Guilford, New Hampshire, at the Meadowbrook Musical Arts Center. It's June 19th, Saturday, and it's the tail end of Bike Week there in New Hampshire. So if you like motorcycles. So, let's see. Opportunity up there. It's supposed to be like 90s this weekend in the whole area, so it's a good weekend for an outdoor fight. Let's see. We also have Bellator Fighting Championships going on tonight. We have Pro Fight 5 going on tomorrow night. Hold on. Warriors Realm Fighting Championship in Queensland, Australia. We got Valkyrie 6 in Tokyo, Japan on Saturday. The Frisco Convention Center, we got Fury SWC 11 on Saturday. And obviously, we talked about the UFC Ultimate Fighter Finale. That's going on at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas on Saturday. Also on Saturday, Cage Force 17 in Tokyo. Phantom Fight Explosion 9, Lima, Ohio. Mayhem at Six Flags. MMA Mayhem putting on that show. Six Flags Great Adventure Park in Jackson, New Jersey. The Watch Out Combat Show 8. What's going on at Flamengo Rowing Club in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Saturday, Judgment Day in Montreal, Quebec. We got Hall versus Lane V3 fights in Memphis, Tennessee on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we got the Sengoku Raiden Championships 13 in Tokyo. Varner versus Chalarus, WEC 49. Rexall Place, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And finally, on Sunday, we have The Outsider 12 in Tokyo, Japan. And WBC 49, so we got UFC, Ultimate Fighter Finale, and WBC 49 on the same weekend. It's both up by the same people. So they're making some money this weekend. Jamie Varner versus Kamal Chalarus, Josh Crispy versus LC Davis. That's interesting. Josh Crispy's a guy from this area in New England. I've seen him fight a couple of fights here in Massachusetts. Mark Hominick versus Eve Jabouin. Chris Horodecki versus Ed Ratcliffe. Eddie Wineland versus Will Camposano. Karen Garabedian versus Will Kerr. Wagney Fabiano versus Frank Gomez. Bendy Casimir versus Eric Koch. Rafael Awesome Hale versus Diego Luz. Jason Diaz, or Rafael Rovella versus Chris Parejo, and finally, Renan Barreto versus Anthony Leon. Just about burns right through the combat sports schedule. Guest burned out on us because he wanted to watch the game again.
Well, what's that?
I think our guest wanted to watch the game. The promotional thing was just a sideline. What else? We're going to get Daniel on next week, of course. What else there is to really hype up? I know we got Hank Lundy's coming up on a fight.
Yeah, he's coming up, what is that, July 9th, isn't it? That's going to be on ESPN. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to a DVR that fight because I'm not going to be home that night. I'm going to be down in South Philadelphia. But what I'm going to do is DVR it. When I get home, I will do my tradition of not touching the internet. I will not. Well, I won't get a lot of text messages regarding the fight, but I won't, tell people, anybody watching it, don't text me. I'll tell Hike, don't text me. Let me watch it for myself. That happened to me a few months ago. It was like the opening game of the season for baseball. I really wanted to watch it so bad. I was stuck in hell. I mean, work. And I said, okay. I told all my friends. I said, don't text me about the game. I'm not going to listen to the radio on the way home. I'm going to watch it when I get home. Like it's brand new. Not know what's going on. Yeah, I'm sitting at my desk. One of my coworkers called me up. Yeah, my daughter's out at the game today. As you said, a home run. They're up 4-1. I'm like, oh, great. Well, I know they're winning. Then one of my clients calls me up like a half hour later. They just hit a grand slam. They're up 11-1. I'm like, I don't even know you, and you're giving me scores? Like, what the hell? I was like, that sucks. That's the winning, but the fact that I have this DVR that I'm not going to watch now. Maybe it'll be after the Lundy fight. But no, I mean, this should be a good fight for Hank. I was, reading a little bit about the guy that he's going to fight. And, hey, Hank's undefeated. He's really stepping up the ladder. But what he's got to do is stop getting over anxious. He did that in his last fight. He was fighting a real tall kid, and he hurt him with the first punch. And then they had a double knockdown. But that's the thing. It's like, Hank got so over anxious that he didn't settle down. He didn't hit the body enough, and he could have knocked the guy out. But he ended up set up for a decision because he was just, he was getting ahead of himself. He was smothering himself, and he wasn't composed. He got a little too wild. When you get a guy hurt like that, hey, I know what it's like. You get a guy hurt, and you smell blood, you get excited. You want to go right after him, and sometimes you can say, no, can't do that. You got to settle down and, work a little bit, and, just work efficiently, not crazy.
Well, the other thing, James Herpke, like it's around, he's refereeing everywhere. He refereed the Strike Force event the other day, Wednesday. He was refereeing the UFC event up there in Vegas. All over the place. He was Massachusetts. No wonder he's not answering my text. You should call her Herpke right now. Give him a message. Hey, we're live on the air. We're jonesing for an interview with you. I'll just keep pestering him. I guess that's what he said this year in a text on. Which is usually to get attention. But going back to that Strike Force event, I'll have to give the rest of the results. Evangelista the Cyborg in the couple main events knocked out Dream Welterweight Champion Marius Zal, and then that was the one that Herpke stopped. 2:38 of the first round. We had the former Special Forces sniper, Kim Kennedy, in a first round submission victory over her South African Trevor Riley. And then we had KT Nunes victorious by split decision over Connor Hume. That was at the Nokia Theater there. Destroyed Force. Pretty good for themselves, that little Strike Force. But the word is now kind of buzzing that another guy that nobody has really asked to retire is thinking about and really leaning towards retirement. That's Fedor Emelianenko, who's like huge in MMA, and I don't even give a damn. But he's got some interesting boxing. He comes from a sport called Sambo. And he's just got some incredible hands. If you ever did box, you'd be very impressive, I think. Because he just pulled it out of his ass when he needs it. You know, with his last fight there against Brett Rogers, he just whipped out a right hand when he needed it and just floored the guy. Just sent him into a new stratosphere. And it was a very unorthodox punch, too. You know, you wouldn't see it. Combat sports, but he's just an interesting character, but he's definitely getting older, and his fights are getting closer, so I think he's just realizing that all this new talent coming up is just evolving so much quicker, and is so much younger, and it's just so much tougher to stay in the shape that you need to be to beat these world beaters out there, so he's picking these very intelligent fights to go out on, and I'm talking about just becoming a politician. Russia retiring. So we'll see what's going on with him personally. Of course, he speaks a different language, so that doesn't help. Don't get anyone on many conference calls with him. But I know he's got a fight coming up, too. I think. He's got one more fight with Strikeforce, or two more fights with Strikeforce, and then that's the end of that contract. But, what else is going on with boxing?
Well, there was actually you had sent me the press conference information for it last week. There was a fight last Sunday down in Philadelphia. I think it was around Kansas City or South Philadelphia. And my buddy, George Hansen, we call him Chicken, he sent me the results. Because, I mean, I can't go to as many shows as I used to when I was at my old job and even when I was on work, I would have the money, I could win every one of them. That was a little bit of a problem, but when I was at my old job, hey, Tony, when you get on, I'm going to a fight, I'm leaving at 3 o'clock. Okay, now it's like, no, you're not. But there was a fight this past Sunday in Philadelphia, like I said, I didn't have a chance to get out, I was pretty busy all weekend. But it was the son of the Hawk, Aaron Pryor Jr., who, he's a skilled fighter. I mean, he won via stoppage over Willis the Prophet Lockett, who fought my good boy Chuck Masaccio a couple of years ago. I think he held Masaccio to withdraw, actually. But Pryor beat him up pretty good and stopped him after 6 rounds.
Wow.
It's like the son of the Hawk, like, it's like nothing like him. Like Aaron Pryor was like, 5'7", 140 pounds. His son is like 6'4", like 175.
Well, we were thinking about doing that whole series at the time about following in the father's footsteps. Remember that? Way back when? Years ago.
I remember we talked about it. I don't remember really any going any further with it. But you look at some of them. Sometimes you have the son that's better than the father. Sometimes you have the son that doesn't come nowhere close to the father. Like Marvis Frazier was a hell of a nice guy, and he turned out to be a decent trainer, but he was nowhere near being what Smoking Joe was. I think the problem with Marvis is they kind of tried to. He was more of like a boxer and a mover and like a decent jab. And they tried to train him like Smoking Joe, being, bobbing and weaving and coming in and slugging, and that just wasn't his style. Ronald Hearns, as you did Tommy Hitman Hearns. I don't think you're going to see the same success out of James McGirt Jr. as you did out of Buddy McGirt. That's still the jury's still out on that one. Well, the Chavez boys, Julio Cesar Jr., he's a 40-something and 0-1 draw. But, I mean, he's fought really nobody. He's got a fight coming up with John Duddy, which, as I said, this could be the case of the
overhyped sensations fighting each other. But I think Chavez will beat Duddy. You also got Julio Cesar's younger son, Omar. Jury's still pretty much out on him. And then at another time, you get the fathers that were mediocre fighters, and their sons turn out to be, you know, much better. I mean, you don't see it as often, but it happens.
Right. Yeah, well, there's a lot of them out there. I know that, if you include cousins and brothers and all that, yeah, you got all kinds of characters that keep it in the family.
I'll tell you right now, this is saying a lot, but Hector Camacho Sr. was much better than Junior. You know how much I hated Junior. Not
too
fun with Junior either.
Right. Yeah, there's some funny ones.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever seen Mike Tyson's kid box, unfortunately.
George is the third, as they call him. He's the third George out of all of them. And they call him Monk. He's pretty big, you know. He's about a good 6'4", and he looks like his father did early in his first career.
His daughter did too.
His daughter did, but Freda, I think it was, had a couple fights. Obviously, Leila Ali fought. She had a lot of success. Joe Frazier's daughter, Jackie, she fought. She even fought Ali, and they had a very competitive fight. It was a decision win for Ali, but by no means was it a pushover. Just trying to think of some others. You have the great Max Baer. His son didn't turn out to be a fighter, but he did play Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Alright. Now we're stretching.
Well, that wasn't a stretch. I mean, this was Max Baer. Max Baer Jr. was Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies. That's, you know, quality accomplishment. That show entertained millions.
You were a great man in boxing and a trivia pursuit guy.
Yeah, it still lives on syndicated TV, on TV Land, and I was watching it just the other week, and like I said, still quality entertainment.
There you go.
They never mess with my knowledge.
Oh, so this Donna Ferry, this the girl that you were talking about?
Yeah. What, is she friendly question?
Is that the groupie, or that's the one that you want to be the ring girl?
That's the one I want to be the ring girl. I don't even know if she's done any ring girls, but look at her. I think she can win.
Okay.
Is she friendly question?
Oh, you sent me a request to have her suggestion.
Yeah, and you should.
I did.
You did? Did she accept it?
No, I just did. 2 seconds.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We should have ago.
Were
you slacking again?
Yeah, I've been working. I'm painting the house, so.
Yeah, but work sucks.
Work does suck.
People like call me. In my company, I'm in the office, like, dispatching out people where they got to go and get my paperwork done and stuff. So if anybody on the road screws up, that's who gets yelled at.
You.
And I'm like, do these people not know they're speaking to the tornado? I'm sorry, sir. Like, let me see how I can help you out. I do apologize on our behalf. You know, talk of bullshit. I want to say, like, you know, I could twist your fucking head off right now and play basketball with it if I wanted to.
You know, the head and lay you out for life.
You know, one thing that does suck is when I was at my old place, you know, caller ID. Obviously, we can't have it here because you'd see certain numbers calling, nobody would ever answer them. But if I saw, like, you know, a call either from inside the company or if it was, like, maybe, like, somebody that I knew personally that was, like, calling me up, I would answer the phone tornado at my old job.
Do you need to change the office linebacker?
What?
Terry Tate, the office linebacker. Remember that?
I love that commercial.
You mean that guy?
Yeah, I had volunteered to be that guy a couple times.
at the last place I was at. I was going to walk around just, like, spearing people in the water coolers and stuff like that. They wouldn't let me.
Oh, yeah. Something about the insurance policy, right?
Yeah, something like that. Or something ridiculously dumb like that. But you let me straighten these people up. I got in trouble way back in the day. Somebody had, I never found out who it was. They had made a complaint to HR about me. That it was something that, at the time, I had a real bad allergic infection, and I had my whole face broke out in hives, and my head did, too. I had hives on my head and my face, and I was really, really not feeling well. And I had permission from my supervisor and my supervisor's boss to wear a plain bandana. So I did, you know. And I had been out of work for about a week, and I came back and was wearing a bandana for a couple weeks. The one guy from HR that was a very good friend of mine called him and goes, why are you still wearing the bandana? I said, well, it's because I'm sick. I have permission for this. Oh, well, because someone came to my office said you're being very unprofessional by wearing it. I said, really? And I said, who was this? I'd like to have a conversation with them. No, we can't give you that information. You know, I guess against company policy or whatever. I said, well, listen, you give them a message. They said, I was out of work for a week. You guys don't know why I was out of work. But, you know, who's to say? I mean, there's only 120 people in the company. Everybody there knew me. It's not like I wasn't not approachable. I said, well, who's to say that right now I'm not suffering, I'm not having chemotherapy for cancer and my hair's falling out. That's why I'm wearing it. I said, they didn't think to ask that, did they? No, they just made an assumption that I was being unprofessional. I said, you can tell them that I'd like an apology. And if they don't want to apologize to my face, they can apologize through you. I don't care. And then the person apologized and said, yeah, you're bullshitting me. You never went to him about it. You never told him I was pissed off. So I just started going around the company. Only 120-something people. I knew pretty much everybody. So I just started standing around like, yeah, you hear this bullshit? Some asshole went to HR and bitching around my headband. I said, well, I'd love to find out who that was and punch him in the fucking mouth. I might have even said it to the person that went to HR and complained.
Yeah.
I said, just because I wanted them thinking that when they go out to the car, they might run into me. I might smack them in the mouth.
That got me fired from a newspaper one time. I said, you know, the Saturday kept fucking up my story. So to this other girl who worked in the newsroom, I said, wouldn't it be funny if somebody told that guy going to punch him because I was so pissed at him because he kept fucking his stories up? And she laughed, and she goes, yeah, that would be funny. So what does she do? She goes and tells him. And she probably thought it was funny, but it wasn't funny when they called me into the office and they said, you don't have a fucking reporter job anymore.
Yeah, well.
Because they were worried about it, you know, but I was actually going to do it, but it all started off as just a joke, so I was just like, you know, I couldn't even explain that to them. I was just like, great.
Well, that's the way it is. That's the way it always has that, you know. You know, you're kind of like ashamed of it, too. Like, you know, you tell them the honest to God truth, and some people are like, they don't want to stop and say no. You know, people never admit they're wrong. If they're not there with you, then they're always right.
Right.
And like, you tell them, you know, I come around and I tell people, like, you know, don't piss me off. I said, I'm easy to work with. I'm easy to deal with. Just don't give the proper respect.
Yeah, work's tough. But you work for yourself. And then when you work for yourself, you don't want to work for yourself. Because you can't. You can't say no to yourself. No, I'm not going to write bad today. I don't feel like it. I'm not going to put the right girl voting page up today. I'll wait till next month. No, it's getting there. Everything's kind of coming together. We're going to definitely get some buzz going in the next few weeks on the next. I think we're going to change to a seasonal record. summer, spring, winter, fall. Ring Girl Contest. Instead of the monthly Ring Girl Contest. But anyway. Big shout out to our sponsors while we have a minute here. Discipline.com. Go check them out. Fighters with Discipline. That's my new slogan for them. Stable of fighters there you can find on our website now. It's on the right sidebar. There's a whole bunch of links there. They got a promotion, $5 off, free shipping for their stuff now. They got some of those t-shirts there. We just sent our Ring Girl winners a couple of those, so we're waiting on pictures back from them for all that stuff. And we're going to be setting them up with winners pages, and then I'm pretty sure by the end of this month here, we're going to be able to do, in the summer, Ring Girl Contest, so check out that. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, do not send me any freaking application requests. Please, I'm not going to do your freaking poker or your farmland or whatever.
Excuse me, you mean trying to tell me that you don't want to be a vampire? You don't want to be in my mafia?
I don't want to be Treasure Isle fruit requests. I don't want shit.
Yeah, when you
get MMA pro fighter invitation, Bob Crawford.
When you get those, do you ignore them or do you block them?
I ignore them. You can't block them.
Sure you can. You can block any application.
Really?
I got to figure out how to do it. I haven't got one in a while. But say I turn around and I sent you like a Farmville request. You can go on there. You can block this application. I think it's like in that area where you get the invitations, like confirm, ignore, and then the way it would be a little block says block this application. So it's just saying you block it, and somebody else goes in and is like, hey, I'm starting up a farm, and I want to invite Rich Bergeron. So they bring up all their friends. And they go to select you, it's like you're, not like you're highlighted, but you're grayed out. So they can't click on your name, like it won't click to select. So that's the best thing to do, just block the application. So I would get like thousands of like, be my vampire friend, be my farm girl friend, be my neighbor, be my fish something or other. I'm like, no, I don't give a shit. Be in my mafia, you're Italian. I'm like, exactly. It's degrading. You're degrading me. You're like gonna kick your ass.
Well, we got really not much else to go on here. Just trying to look through my messages, see if anything newsworthy is in here. Unboxing. Oh. Manager of retired professional boxer Fernando Vargas has been arrested on suspicion of grand theft.
Really?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars from the two-time world champion. Joseph Pecora was arrested without incident. His attorney says Pecora worked with Vargas as a business manager from the late 90s until Vargas discovered about 2 years ago that he had no money in his bank account.
Nice.
It says Vargas and his wife allege Pecora pocketed about $400,000. He says the couple had to move out of their Camarillo home as a result of the loss. Pecora is being held on $15,000 bail. $400,000. Yeah, I'm just going to keep this money in this account over here for you. Don't worry about it. It'll be there when you need it.
Yeah, it's fine.
You don't have to watch it or check on it. It'll be fine. still be in my pocket. What else we got here? Oh, I don't think we talked about this last week, but I think I sent you a link about the Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I think it's right. Check it out. You're pretty close. Done deal. Is that true?
That's what apparently somebody is reporting that Oscar De La Hoya is saying. Whether it is fact that it is a done deal, or just about a done deal, we don't know, but that's what Oscar De La Hoya is apparently saying. Somebody's heard him say that, so.
Okay. Ooh, I see Boston has a big lead on the Lakers.
I think the problem is, you know, nobody wants to see any other fight with those two, really.
You know what? That's the thing is, I mean, a lot of people were talking about, like, right now, it's like, I got tired of being on the message boards anymore because it was like, you had your smart people, your people that I enjoyed listening to, and they would ask legitimate questions, and they didn't have these other ones. All they would talk about, Manny and Floyd. Who's ducking who? Is Manny a coward? Is Floyd a coward? Is, you know, whose fault is it? You know, what's Freddie Rhodes? What's his infirmary? Why are there no blood tests? There should be blood tests. No, there shouldn't be blood tests. Oh, that's bullshit. They've never used them before. And it's just a bunch of hogwash that you think, I got tired of going on there and arguing with people.
Hmm. Well, Bob Arum is weighing in on the Floyd Mayweather issue now, too. Lem Satterfield, that's funny. I wonder if he's related to Bob.
Yeah, right.
Wrote this article here for, what is it? Fan House, Lem Satterfield, boxing editor. Bob Arum optimistic about Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. Arum said that he is optimistic concerning about occurring between six-time champion Mayweather and seven-division king Manny Pacquiao sometime in the fall.
Wow.
Accepted, I'm very optimistic, said Arum, who has said in the recent past, I'm going to do my darndest to make the fight happen.
Let me go see if I can find a little bit. Someone sent to me a little bit ago, or I saw it posted on Facebook. It's November 13th, and it might have been Mayweather, but was it against Pacquiao? Hold on, let me look at that, all right? Give me just a second, Rich.
Ali Funeka suspended for 9 months for banned diuretic. Hear this?
Well, who was that?
Ali Funeka suspended for 9 months. He'll have to pay a $35,000 fine and return $15,625 that he received for making weight after having tested positive for a banned diuretic following a March 12-round split decision loss to Dominican Republican-born Joan Guzman.
Hopefully the guy that has no
luck. Huh? Funeka tested positive for hydrochlorothiazide.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds good.
It's prohibited by the NSAC. Funeka must provide a negative urine test upon reapplying for a license at the end of his exile before he can be reinstated. Exile. Go exile from Boston. Condition of the fight taking place, the fighters were allowed to weigh in at 7 a.m. on the day of the bout. Guzman, who was promoted by Golden Boy Promotions, being told he could come in at a mark no greater than 150 pounds, while Funeka could come in at 145.
Wow.
That's weird.
Hold on. I got a switch here. this came out just about maybe 4 hours ago.
Richard Schaefer says De La Hoya was misquoted when he said a Mayweather-Pacquiao deal was close. Schaefer said nothing has changed despite Pacquiao accepting Mayweather's demands. Not sure what it means. Guess we will know if there's a fight when one of them signs to fight against someone, anyone. I'm not feeling optimistic right now. I'm starting to think Pacquiao will sign to fight someone else sooner rather than wait much longer for Mayweather to decide if he's retired or not. That actually was posted on Facebook by the Boxing Web of Fame. The fight that I was telling you about on November 13th, that was sticking out in my head, was a possible fight, which doesn't sound very appealing either, between David Haye and Audley Harrison. I can think of a lot of better guys I'd rather see Haye fight than Harrison. And two of them are covered by the last name of Klitschko.
Do you know who
his name we haven't mentioned in a while? One of our favorite fighters, Evan. I wonder when he's got something coming up. Our boy, Ali Chiba.
Ali Chiba. Is that because I talked about Ali
Funeka? Yeah, that's what made me think. He said, I was Ali Chiba. I was like, Ali Funeka. I was like, woo! Ali Chiba is not suspended, baby. He's the man.
I don't know what's going on with him.
I don't know, but we'll have to find out. Hold on. Yeah, I got distracted again. Okay. Hey, Rich Boston's got a big lead on LA.
2 points.
2 points.
No, 4 points.
Ooh, the alley-oop. Alley-oop. Can you feel that NBA final championship? Are you going to the parade, Rich?
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go turn some cars over in about 2 hours.
Nice. Nice. Nothing like
big train into Boston. Instead of
cows. Turning over.
It's definitely going to be... big celebration in Boston. It's been a while, you know, 2 years.
Shut up. You guys. We were so freaking close, Rich. So close. You know, I was telling people, I wanted to write the follow-up, the sequel to my story I wrote a couple years ago, and I believe won the World Series, about, you know, breaking the curse and doing this. I'm like, this year has been so perfect. The Flyers to do it, because it was year that ended the HBO documentary on the Broad Street Bullies, the last team to win, Flyers team to win the Stanley Cup in the 70s. Then they unveiled the Kate Smith stamp, and now she was like our good luck charm throughout the 70s, and they still have her recording, you know, played before the games, and her statue is still outside the arena down in Philadelphia. And I'm like, the stamp comes out. The documentary comes out. What would be more fitting than to come behind against all odds, barely making it into the playoffs, and then winning the whole thing? I'm like, that article, Rich, would have been perfect. And we're never going to get a chance to read it.
See, I knew it wasn't even worth busting your balls about last week.
Oh, I was miserable. I was arguing with my cousin on Facebook. My cousin is 38 years old. He acts like he's 11.
And yeah, like,
the perverse. He gets in like this mood. Like, some days he's like the funny kind of word he is, his best friend. The other day he's just like a pompous ass. So when the game was over, like, I was sitting in my room watching the game. They scored. And I just sat there and I looked at it for about a minute. I just stared for about a minute. And I had tears rolling up in my eyes. I'm a very passionate person. Yeah, if you would have really seen me fight like during my heyday, I would just fall to the wall every time, win or lose. I mean, I did everything I could out there. And, you know, so I'm sitting there, and I'm just looking at it. And finally, I threw the remote, I threw my hat, I threw my jersey off, and I wrote on Facebook, but it was about an hour or so later, because it kind of really sank in. I was like, man,
I'm like, I don't know what to say, man. I said, I'm so disappointed. I'm like, tears in my eyes right now. I'm like, I'm kill you, and I'm like, and why do you say that? He's like, you know, say something else. I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm like, I never played hockey. I can't even skate. But I want to say to him, you played top winner football. I competed as a boxer on a national level, something you could never do. You know, you couldn't compete on anything on a national level except being a piece of shit sometimes. So I was really pissed off when you said that. And then he wrote on there about, you know, surprised, like, and how he could feel, like, Jeremy Roenick, like, emotionally breaking down. I'm like, oh, Jeremy Roenick bawls his eyes out. And I well up with tears, and I'm the bitch. He goes, well, he put the block off down the water, so he was really emotionally involved. I'm like, that's bullshit. I don't want to hear it. I'm like, I'm a fan. I live and die in my city. I mean, I've been a resident of the city my whole life, and I really have a lot of pride in being a Philadelphian. And, you know, sometimes you got to take the good with the bad, and sometimes the bad are hard to swallow, but it only makes the good that much better. I mean, and Rich, you know that being a Red Sox fan, I mean, you know how hard it was for me with you and how it was like when they finally won. You know what it's like.
Man, that's a really good thing. Really hammered home, though, until the guy's grave. You see that picture? The guy had it on his freaking tombstone. Never saw the Red Sox win the World Series.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Seeing that first time when I was working at the cemetery, I rolled over the guy's grave and I said, you got to be kidding me.
I'll tell you, The day after they won, two things that really still stick out in my mind. Well, three things, actually, that still stick in my mind about that was one was a woman that I used to work with. She was originally from New England, and she had moved down to this area. We were working together. She was a very nice lady. And she wrote out, like, an email to a bunch of us saying, like, yahoo, wahoo, all of that. And finally, my father can finally rest in peace. He was such a diehard for so many years, and they... so many fears. Finally, he can rest in peace. That was one thing I remember. Then I had another friend of mine, Rich, another guy that I worked with, and he was, I mean, a diehard Red Sox fan. I mean, to the point where, like, he would fit right up with Red Sox Nation up at Fenway, wearing all the gear. I mean, a diehard. And he came in, like, a couple days later, wearing a Yankees shirt. Because it was Halloween. He went out and spent like 75 Yankee jersey and a Yankees hat, and then he got like a bottle of whatever, and he put it in like a paper bag, and we're having a Halloween party at work, and he stumbled in, like, then he fell on his knees and started like pretending like he was crying, and he's like, I'm a drunk crying Yankee fan, if we're losers, I hate life, I want to kill myself. And we all got a kick out of that. And I remember her saying, because I even mentioned him in my article, I said, I've never seen a human being so utterly happy at that time. And I said, when they won, I said, like, it was just like a genuine, like, happiness. I said, I want that. I said, I really, really want that feeling. And then finally when the Phillies won it, I was like, I got it. I'm like, wow, I finally know what he feels like or he felt like. And it was good. I really liked feeling that. And the third thing, did you ever see that MasterCard commercial they did after Boston won the World Series?
Oh, yeah.
Great. I love Dennis Leary at the end. I don't think I said that. Yes, sir. Actually, we have it right here. I would give my left nut if the Red Sox won the World Series. Yeah, that does sound like me.
Awesome. All right, well, the Celtics are up by 7 now, so I think I'm going to enjoy the rest of this game.
Okay.
And we'll sign off until next week when we will have, for real, the Daniel Edouard interview. And in addition to our sponsor, Discipline.com, that I mentioned earlier, can't forget Cocaine Energy Drink, Prime Athletics. It's going to be taking me to the fight this weekend. So
nice.
Shout out to them, PrimeAthletic.com. So just check out the website and keep checking for updates. I know that there's going to be some stuff up there tonight that I'm going to post, so be on the lookout. And obviously, we're going to have some good post-fight stuff coming up early next week. So, thanks for stopping by and listening, and go Celtics.
Okay, well, enjoy it. Enjoy it. All right, until next week, this is I'm out. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.